Welcome to this episode of the We Travel There podcast. We're in Brașov, Romania, with my new friend Marius Iliescu of RomanianFriend.com. Marius runs a tour company throughout Romania, and he's reminded of Brașov's medieval history every time he walks through its old town area. In this episode, Marius and I talk about hiking Tampa Mountain, touring the Liberty Bear Sanctuary, and exploring the Rope Street Bastion. You hear about these three amazing experiences and so much more. If you know someone interested in visiting Romania, I'd love it if you share this episode with them. The show notes and our one-page guide of Marius's tips are available at wetravelthere.com/Brașov. Now let's get started. The We Travel There podcast helps you travel like a local by interviewing guests from around the world to uncover the hidden gems of their city by finding out the best things to do, eat, drink, and see from a local's point of view. Acorns is one of my favorite apps because it helps me invest spare change automatically. Every time I make a purchase with a registered debit or credit card, the transaction is rounded up to the next dollar. Then, Acorn invests these roundups in my personalized portfolio. Plus, when you shop at participating retailers or service providers, you can earn additional found money to invest in your future. Examples of current and previous partners include DoorDash, Liberty Mutual, Macy's, and FedEx. I've been using Acorns for years and love how much money I've saved up from all these small investments. Sign up using my referral link at wetravelthere.com/acorns to start saving today. Hey, Marius, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Lee. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we got connected over an email talking about Romania, and I learned a little bit about you and everything like that, and I found out that you live in Brașov, and so I really wanted to have you on the show and talk about all the amazing things to do in the city and kind of introduce the area to our listeners.
That's cool. And just a small correction, I like to live in Brașov over the summer. Because I kind of live all over Romania. Like I have my home base is actually in Bucharest, but Brașov is just such a great city to be in over the summer, and that's when I kind of like move my family, my business, my work, everything over there during the summer. So yeah, but happy to talk about it.
Well, that's fantastic. Sounds like an ideal life, being able to kind of live a lot of different beautiful places within Romania.
Yeah, I'm paying a heavy price for that, but it's worth it, I would say.
Absolutely. So for people that aren't really familiar with Brașov, where is it within Romania? And actually, where is Romania within the European continent?
Yeah, Romania is in Eastern Europe. So that's still within the European continent, but that's the European Union. A lot of people confuse that with the European continent. Romania is part of the European Union. And then it's, if you look at the map of Europe, if you have France on the left side, you know, close to the Atlantic Ocean, Romania is, imagine a straight line going to the right all the way to the Black Sea. So when you get to the Black Sea, Romania is on the left side of the Black Sea. It's actually quite a big country, and a lot of people in terms of other countries in Eastern Europe, you know, comparing to Hungary or Bulgaria or Austria, Croatia, and so on. So it's quite a big country. And Bucharest is the capital, and that's in like the southeastern part of the country. And Brașov is 3 hours away from Bucharest. It's closer to the center of the country, and it's Romania's darling city. Let's call it like that. It's basically the city that most people like to go to for tourism, for travel, to just have a different kind of experience, both locals, but also it has a very nice reputation and it's a very popular with international visitors. So a lot of people who travel to Romania for the first time, if you'd read online about Brașov, then a lot of people would say like, yo, don't spend too much time in Bucharest, just head over to Brașov because it's closer to Transylvania. And, you know, that's where we get into all the Dracula stories and myths. But also, to be fair, Transylvania is a big region. It's like the center of Romania. Brașov is like the gateway to it.
Yeah, I was actually talking to one of my freelance writer friends, Bob Hagel. And he actually said that he'd been to Brașov before. And like, he said it was like just a wonderful place to go and had a lot of fond memories of his visit. But to your point, you mentioned Dracula and Transylvania and those type of things. And while a lot of tourists may like think of Romania that way, but really that's kind of like on the outskirts of Brașov, and there's a lot more to do beyond just Dracula's castle and everything like that in this area.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's a lot more. So let's just get some things out of the way. Romania doesn't have a very good tourist reputation or any tourist reputation at all. It's not even known as a travel destination. A lot of people are like, oh, Romania, like really, where is that? And other than Dracula, what else is there? Because the truth is, our government for a long, long time now, it's close to 30 years since we emerged out of the communist regime, let's say. Let's just put it mildly, hasn't done anything to promote our country in a way that, you know, is current to our times, right? So people don't know why they should come here, what to visit, and so on. And even when you come to Romania, sure, people are friendly. Lots of people speak English, especially young people. We all grew up with Cartoon Network and Hollywood movies, you know, so and not the dubbed type, you know, because if you go to Hungary or Bulgaria, for example, you're going to see, I don't know, Sean Connery talking in Hungarian. And it is just like mind-boggling. So there's not a lot of people don't know what our country can offer. And that's why the Dracula thing acts like a magnet. And a lot of people come here to see Dracula's castle because there was a Hollywood movie. I think it was in 1992. And then, you know, a lot of vampire folk and Transylvania gets mentioned often. So I think a lot of people just associate Romania with vampires and Dracula, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, obviously, you know, when people are thinking of different places to visit, sometimes tourists are a little afraid of visiting a country where maybe they don't speak the local language, or like you said, they don't really know much about Romania and everything like that. When we come out there to visit, what's the local language, and do a number of people speak English, or is it something that we need to know some phrases in Romanian in order to be able to talk to people?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny how you're asking me this question just as we published a blog post of Romanian phrases and funny words that are easy to learn and, you know, would help any tourist out. Because the truth is, Romanian language is a Latin language, so it's very close to Italian, very close to French. We all share the same Latin roots. So even if it's in Eastern Europe, Romania is the only country that has a Latin language, which basically means it's very, what you read is exactly how you pronounce. So if I'm going to ask you how you're doing, is ce faci, which is very similar to Italian, come stai. And so it's very easy to learn all of that. Salut is how we say hello, which is very similar, you know, to Spanish. And so it's very easy to learn. And then the funny part is we have some very funny expressions like idioms and all that, that if you translate them word for word, then it gets very funny. But what I like to do with the people I come in contact with, or our people, tourists and guides, they always teach some people some basic expressions, like, you know, when you put your buggers, the ones from your nose, if you give your buggers to the bean soup, that's like a rougher translation of saying like you messed up badly and in public. And then we teach people how to say that, like English speaking or, you know, international travelers, how to say that in a specific context, or when to say it, and they find the context. And then Romanian locals are just like baffled when they hear that.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, it's an easy language to learn. And a lot of people, especially young people up to, I would say, even 40, 45, almost all of them just speak English easy and naturally. Because like I said, we grew up with Cartoon Network, with internet, with Hollywood movies. Everyone was just watching a lot of TV in the 90s and early 2000s. And if you go to a 15-year-old, then by default, like, English is just the first language taught in schools. So for anyone traveling to Romania, I would say if you want to ask someone in English, just go straight ahead and, hey, sorry, can I ask you something? And the person will just let you know if they don't talk English. And even if they don't, they will tell you, talk to this person.
Okay. Well, it's good that they're very helpful that way. And then I think it gives a lot of people comfort knowing that, you know, even if, you want to be able to learn some of the local phrases, it's good to know that a lot of people will speak English. That way it makes it a little bit easier with that transition. So speaking of that, when we fly over from the United States to Romania, I heard that there's actually a local airport that just opened within the last year or two. Is that correct?
Yeah. Brasov actually just opened its small airport. And like a lot of airports in small towns in Europe, they're mostly connected from other European cities. So from the US to fly directly to Brasov, I would highly doubt you'd find anything with a major airline, because most airports other than the one in Bucharest, which is the main one in the country, are serviced by low-cost airlines like Wizz Air or Ryanair or so on. So I doubt you'd find something. But for example, if you'd fly to London, from London, you'd find a Wizz Air flight directly to Brasov, you know, but you'd have to self-transfer for that. But at the same time, if you fly into Bucharest, from Bucharest airport, there are lots of shuttle buses, and we actually recommend people to just get on a shuttle bus directly to Brasov. It's just going to be a two-hour ride, so it's easy and convenient. And also by train from Bucharest, that's like a three-hour ride, so it's very easy as well.
Oh, perfect. The other thing is, you know, like you mentioned earlier, that you're part of the EU. So if we're flying with American passport, we get into the EU, it's easy to be able to go around between countries and everything like that. It's very simple and easy. You don't have to worry about visas or shot records, anything like that.
No. And even if you don't fly into, let's say, France, the first thing, you can fly straight to Romania, because US citizens have a tourist visa on arrival, so they don't need there are no any special requirements, no nothing. So you can just show up, show your passport, and you're allowed entry.
So when people are planning their trip, obviously the weather, you know, throughout the year, you know, changes quite a bit. What's the weather like throughout the year? And then are there any festivals or concerts, anything along those lines that people want to plan their trip around?
Well, specifically in Brasov, there aren't any major festivals or some particular event. So for example, Cluj-Napoca, which is the second largest city in Romania, and that's like the unofficial capital of Transylvania, is known in Europe but also around the world because it has like, it's the home of Untold Festival and Electric Castle, and then there's an international film festival. So that city is known specifically for its events. Brasov, on the other hand, isn't. Weather-wise, though, it is known as a very good city to be in during the summer, because Romania tends to get quite hot in July and August, especially the southern parts. It's like plains. It tends to get quite sunny. But Brasov, so if you imagine Romania, I don't know, if you can open up, you know, a Google or just a Romania map as it is, just imagine, let's say, the palm of your left hand, I'm looking at it and trying to see Romania on my left hand. There's a Carpathian Mountains, the second largest mountain range in Europe after the Alps, that crisscross Romania, and they form an L inside the country. In the corner where the two lines meet of the mountains, that's where Brasov is. And it's a city surrounded by mountains, like literally the city ends where the mountains begin. And I'm not talking like a small hill. I'm talking about like 1,500 meters in altitude, which I think is like, what?
About 4,500
feet. Yeah, feet. So that's why I say that I love to go there during the summer or when it gets hot, because the city is usually cooler than the rest of the country. And then, of course, you have nature all around and it's beautiful. And I like the fresh air, you know, the fresh mountain air. And then when you walk around Brasov, you know, you just look around and then you see medieval houses and then a huge mountain behind it, you know. So it's quite an interesting backdrop of that. So I would say it's a great place to visit from April or so, because March and February are kind of rainy and just gloomy. But from April up to October, end of October, it's an amazing place to visit. And then also December, especially December and January, when there's typically lots of snow. And Brasov being a city, you know, has this very medieval air to it, like the old town area, there's lots of houses that are 500 years old. You know, so everything is very, it's just sturdy, bulky, medieval. And when it's dark, when it's decorated, when there's also some snow, it literally just takes you back in time. Like you can just walk around, get lost in the city, and, you know, you don't know what kind of corner you're going to turn. And then it's very different than your usual metropolitan city, or, you know, it's hard for me to compare it with something else.
Sure. Well, like a couple things from what you were just talking about here. First off, you're talking about visiting during the wintertime and having the snow and everything like that. There's actually a pretty good place to go skiing or snowboarding that I saw nearby.
Yeah, Poiana Brasov. Yep.
Yeah. And so that, I mean, I love the snowboard and everything like that. So every time I get a chance to hit the slopes, I definitely want to take advantage of that. So yeah,
exactly.
Even though it's a little chillier, if you're into hitting the slopes, then Brașov is a great place to go because you have those local mountains to be able to go snowboarding and skiing. And then the other thing is you're mentioning these homes that are really old and just most builders don't build things the way they used to. Right. And so there's actually a UNESCO World Heritage site nearby, right?
Yeah, so that's the fascinating part about Transylvanian history, because I don't want to go into a lot of details about it, but basically there were Saxon settlers. Saxons are basically ancient Germans, you know, like they're the ones that also colonized the UK and so on. But they were asked by the king of Hungary in the 1300 or so to come to the Carpathian Mountains and established like a defensive line to protect from people that were migrating from Asia and Middle East and so on, right? So if you go back to that L-shaped Carpathian arc that I mentioned, Brașov was like the furthermost outpost of that defensive line. And inside the Carpathian arc is Transylvania. Outside of it is also Romania, but they're called differently. So then when these Saxon settlers came, they mingled with the local population, with the Romanians, and then they built a lot of medieval citadels and fortified towns and villages that had fortified churches. And, you know, like imagine a village that has, I don't know, like 1,000 people, but has like a massive citadel slash church slash fortress bastion in the middle of it, you know. So it's quite impressive when you go and see something like that. Yeah, the UNESCO site that you mentioned is Sighișoara Citadel. And this one is actually at the top of a hill. It's 1 hour away from Brașov. It's a very popular tourist site in Romania. It's built literally on top of a hill that overlooks like a huge area. And it has like, it's surrounded by walls. It has like a huge clock tower. But again, when you go to the citadel, to Sighișoara Citadel, people still live there, like inside the citadel. There are houses and people still live there. And it's just fascinating to see how, again, you walk on cobbled streets and then small, narrow alleys. And then there's someone, you know, like hanging their clothes to dry. and then you see the coat of arms of some noble family that lived there. And then the guilds, right? The guilds. So you had guilds like in Brașov, you can see this. Because you had the guilds of what's it called? The blacksmiths, the tailors guilds, and then you had the merchants guilds. And each of these guilds sponsored a bastion, a fortified bastion of the city of Brașov. So they were basically in charge with giving them money so that those bastions would be armed, well-equipped to defend the city. And that's the fascinating part about Brașov, because it has this medieval history to it. Just as you know, you walk around the city, you will see these bastions, you will see these towers, and you can go visit them. Like it's very nice.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. That's from when some of the research I was doing. It's called on Rope Street. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's the narrowest street. Yeah, it is one of the tourist attractions, and you know, like people like to go there and take a picture of themselves, you know, trying to fit in the Rope Street. But I would say another more popular one, maybe you've seen it, is the Brașov sign that looks a lot like the Hollywood sign in the US. And that one is up the top of a mountain overlooking Brașov. And it's basically like Brașov. I'll send you a pic. Your listeners will want to check it out. But it's basically the Brașov in the Hollywood style letters overlooking the city. And there's a cable car taking you up there. And when you get up there, you see the mountains on your left, you see the city down below, you see further mountains on the right, you see Transylvanian plains everywhere. It's just like a beautiful panoramic point, and especially in the evening, you know, like you can catch the sunset there. You can go hiking there. Like it's my favorite thing to do is to take the cable car up, because I'm lazy like that, going uphill hiking, and then come downhill, you know, on by foot, you know, and stop for a picnic or take some photos and all that.
Yeah, and that's the Tampa Mountain cable car?
Yeah, exactly. Tampa Mountain, exactly.
Now, one of the other things that I saw that seemed really cool, like a unique experience, there is the Liberty Bear Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. Liberty Bear Sanctuary. Yeah, yeah. It's easy to, because a lot of people just read Liberty, but it actually, yeah, it's, I don't know why they chose that name. It's Liberty.
Oh, Liberty. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to be cute with like the inserting bear in there. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's what they were thinking. So the thing about Romania is we are known as Europe's last wilderness reserve, because a lot of the Carpathian Mountains are still very wild and unpopulated and inaccessible. And that means it's a good place for wild animals to live freely, like not in protected areas, but you can actually go in the mountains and come across boars, lynx, wolves, bears. Like Romania has the largest brown bear population in Europe. That's a good thing, but it can also go bad for tourists or people who venture in the mountains unprepared, you know, or you can go and just meet a mama bear with her cubs and you think like, oh, so cute, I want to take a photo. And then you're in,
Mama's not going to be happy with that
Mama's
one for sure.
Mama's not going to be happy, right? And Liberty Bear Sanctuary is a sanctuary that rescued bears from all over the world. So it's not from Romania specifically. There, of course, some were from Romania, for example, cubs that were abandoned or where their mothers were killed and so on. But it's basically a sanctuary where you can go and see these bears as they are held captive and taken care of. Now, they're doing some good stuff with that. But as far as I know, they don't have plans to release those bears into the wilderness. And that's not something that locals, we have some guides, for example, that are wildlife specialists, and they can take you, Lee, even if you're not a super hiker, into the forest, into special observation points where you can actually see brown bears in the wild, just hanging around, eating, playing, and so on, right? So these wildlife guides, they tell me and us that, you know, Liberty is doing a great job to rescue, to protect, and to save them. But long term, if you keep a bear in captivity for 10 years, let's just say that there are some questions over there that, but other than that, it's a great place to see animals in the wild. And it's really something that I want to take my kid. There are even wildlife tracking trips. And that's something important. All of these take place around Brasov, because like I said, it's surrounded by mountains. And somehow this area is very populated by wildlife. So you can take your family up in the mountains, and with a wildlife ranger, they can teach you how to do tracking, you know, like spot bear marks or other animal marks and recognize their feces and, you know, look for tracks and so on. And it's a very educational and cool experience. And it's, it's just something that I love doing as well.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. I mean, I love being able to find those experiences where it's educational, but still a lot of fun. But also, you want to make sure you're safe too. So having that guide around is definitely a good thing.
Yeah. And also how to learn to be safe on your own, because that's also part of the education, and how to not, you know, mess up with the animals and Mother Nature's home, because we are her guests, not the other way around.
Absolutely. Now, earlier we were talking about some of like the historic buildings and you know, older architecture and everything like that. So the Old Town area of Brasov is really something you can't miss when you're visiting the area, because there's also like the Black Church where they have like organ concerts there and Catherine's Gate. So can you talk a little bit about that?
So the Old Town area, so this is something that people listening that want to visit should know. The Brasov itself is a big city. The city center is different from the Old Town area, which is like the tourist center, let's say, right? And in the Old Town area, if you imagine like a neighborhood or so, so it's basically the part of the town that was fortified. It was surrounded by walls, by these defensive bastions that I mentioned, by all sorts of gates, like Ekaterina Gate that you mentioned, towers. There's the White Tower, there's the Black Tower, and so on. So that is basically the historical part of Brasov, and that's where all the tourist attractions are. The Black Church and the Council Square is basically the main square in the Old Town. And the Black Church is just across, you know, like it's there. I think it's maybe one of the oldest Gothic churches in Romania. I'm not sure about that. I have to check. But it for sure, it's the largest one. It's a huge, huge church. Like it's really impressive when you see it. And yes, there are some organ concerts regularly. But what I typically suggest people visiting Brasov do is, you know, enter the Old Town area. And yes, you visit the main square, Council Square. You go on the main thoroughfare, let's say, which is just a pedestrian area. But then start going towards the edges of the Old Town area. You know, I tell them, go to the mountain. Look at the right, look at the left, just go there. Because eventually you'll come up against these walls, these bastions, and you'll see signs, of course, tourist signs. And just make a tour of those walls. Because if you imagine like a small circle, then, you know, you're going to go around. That's how you will hit all of these tourist attractions. Because you're basically ending up from the wall to the bastion, to the gate, to the tower, to the church that it protects, and so on, right? I hope this makes sense.
Yeah, it's one of those things that keeps us from getting lost, right? Especially when you have kids and stuff like that, right? As long as you stay within this area, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, but it's also like, it's not like you're going to get lost because it's not that big, you know? It's an old town that is from medieval town, so it's not that big. But at the same time, I'm the type of traveler that likes to kind of get lost, if you know what I mean, you know, to discover as opposed to always checking my phone or the map or asking for directions. You know, I just want to wander about.
Yeah, you want to like meander, you know?
Exactly, exactly, Lee. And then Brasov is the perfect place to do that because if you meander to the left or to the right, eventually you're going to come across these fortified attractions and these tourist attractions, which you can't miss them. And so it's kind of fun, you know, to go and then, oh, what's going to be around the corner? And then, whoa, there's this huge bastion over there, which is basically like a small fortress, you know, for the people wandering.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I don't want to miss out on talking about some of the amazing food that you can find in Brasov. So what are some of the culinary experiences that somebody wants to experience while they're there? And what are a couple of restaurants people need to make sure they hit while they're visiting?
Right. So this is a good favorite question of mine because Romanian food is, how to put this, you sit down, you think you're going to eat, but then by the time you're done, you're like, man, I'm going to take a break from eating for one day. Because it's the typical menu for most Romanians is appetizers, not so much. Like, yeah, you have appetizers. Zakuska is my favorite. Zakuska. It's basically baked eggplants with peppers and tomato. And it's not spicy, but it's flavored in a sense from the vegetables. So the quality of the ingredients determine, and the more natural they are, and that's a great thing about Romanian agriculture, that it's still natural and small producers. So no massive industrial fertilizer, whatever, everything is the same. So the higher quality the ingredients, the better the zakuska. Because it's just a spread that you put on a loaf of bread and you just eat it like that with some shepherd cheese or fresh vegetables. So appetizer is not so much. But then the first course is a chorba. Chorba is basically a broth, a slow-cooked broth, typically with vegetables and one type of meat. So you can have a chorba of pork, one of beef, one of chicken, and it's sour. It's sour because it uses the either lemon juice or, you know, pickled cabbage. Is that something that you're familiar with? Pickled
cabbage? Yeah, yeah.
Right. So sauerkraut.
Okay.
Right. So you take the juice from the sauerkraut and then you put it in the chorba.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it's just something that, especially in wintertime, like when you open up any meal with a chorba, it just feels like my stomach is like, oh, thank you, God, for giving me this hearty, warmy, delicious, natural, healthy broth, you know? Oh, so yeah, you start with a chorba, and my recommendation would be for people, like I'm mostly vegetarian, so vegetable chorba is my go-to, which is already delicious because it's just a lot of vegetables. Brasov is quite known for its baked beans and smoked ham chorba. So if that's a mouthful, I can get that. It's basically, like it says, baked beans with vegetables and some smoked ham, all boiled together and served either in a normal bowl, or the special type is a special bread that is round. It doesn't have the dough. The dough on the middle is taken out, so you only have the crust. And inside, you put the chorba.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We do that sometimes here in the U.S. They call it like a bread bowl, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, bread bowl, exactly. So you imagine that filled with baked beans and smoked ham, and then, yeah, by the time you're done with that, then you're like, I shouldn't have ordered the main. So then you end up with the main, and here, I mean, I wouldn't say Brașov is anything, anything stands out in particular, because you have the traditional Romanian cuisine, and then I'm going to tell you some restaurants to where you can get that. I would say just go for whatever looks appetizing to you, because Romanian mains tend to be heavy on meat, a little bit too heavy on my for my taste sometimes, because it's a lot of pork. It's a lot of dairy as well. Sometimes it's just grilled meat and all of that. So some restaurants also like to do duck. That's smoked duck. It's also a local favorite. Sarmale is a typical, cabbage rolls that are stuffed with minced meat with rice. And they are slow boiled and served with that dish of polenta. It's a very good balanced combination. But another thing that I would recommend to people is to just try the shepherd's. And this is maybe my favorite dish and something that you can find in Brașov. Maybe a little harder in the restaurants, but if you go into the mountains, then local people will serve you this. So it's called bulz, and it's B-U-L-Z. And it's basically polenta made with shepherd cheese. Sometimes it has some sausages baked inside. So when shepherds make cheese up in the mountains, from when they make their cheese, there's this juice. I don't know what the English term for it. There's this little juice that comes out of the cheese when they crush the milk. I'm not sure how to explain this. But basically, that juice, which is very flavorful and it's very has a very cheese-like taste, but it's very flavorful and it's full of bacteria, it's full of nutrients, is used in this bulz, which is slow-cooked over fire, over a fire pot. And if you get a shepherd to make it, and that's my favorite part, you know, because around Brașov in the mountains, you can go up in the mountains and you actually see shepherds taking their flocks of sheep up in the mountains. And that's what they cook for themselves, because they have plenty of cheese. Polenta is everywhere and cheap. And then they just need some sausages. So, yeah, that's something that I would highly recommend people try. But, yeah, I'm not sure which restaurants, actually. It's been a while since I ordered the bulz in Brașov. I would go for, as far as restaurants go, Sub Tâmpa. You mentioned Mount Tâmpa. Sub Tâmpa is on this mountain. It's at the base of it, kind of, but it's a very good in a very good spot, because you kind of get a good view of the city, of the old town area. And then La Chaun, which is basically to the pot, right? Or yeah, the pot's place, right? So, or something like that. Yeah. So yeah. And then there's another one, Sergiana. So all these three restaurants are, I would say, the best traditional Romanian restaurants that serve high quality food and ingredients in a way that I would go there every day if they weren't as expensive, because they may be on the 4 out of 5, let's say, on the price range scale. But for tourists visiting, I would say that you can't go wrong with these three restaurants.
Well, fantastic. Well, Marius, I really appreciate you sharing all these amazing tips for Brașov. I've learned so much, and it sounds like such an idyllic place. But now it's time for the final countdown. If somebody only had time for one meal when they visited Brașov, where should they go and what should they eat?
Sub Tâmpa for the view, for sure, and bulz. I would say bulz, and if not, sarmale.
Oh, fantastic. Like you said, you've been to Brașov like so many different times. You take a lot of tourists there as well. I'm sure you had a lot of great memories during your visit. So what's one of the most memorable?
So the Council Square is a huge square, and it's open, and there is a lot of pigeons. So if you can if you're going to anticipate where this is going, on one sunny, perfect, fine day when I was with a small group of tourists, I was hungry. I took a pretzel, because there are lots of pastry shops and pretzel shops all over. And I took it with me just to find a time later to eat it. But as I was talking to the people I was with, And at one point, as I was walking through the main square, I did not notice. But then when I turned and looked behind me, there was a line of pigeons that was following me. And at first there were like five or six pigeons, and then more and more started coming, you know, because it's like they have a sense. Hey, I know there's food over here. This guy has food. And then by the time I reached the middle of the square, when I was supposed to stop and start telling people, you know, like, this is what you're going to see and so on, I was surrounded by pigeons. So at that point, all I did was just like break the pretzel into small crumbles and just fed all the pigeons I could find and then moved to the other side of the square. But yeah, beware of the pigeons. I would say that.
You were like the Pied Piper of Brasov.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, speaking of fun times and happy memories, where's the happiest happy hour in Brasov?
That's a tricky question because happy hour is not something that restaurants in Romania or bars do. But my favorite way to enjoy the happy hour is, like I said, go to the Brasov sign. So take the cable car up, get a couple of beers or maybe your favorite drink, or even if you just have a bottle of water. And just be there around 7 or 8 p.m., especially if you're there in the evening, because that's when the golden hour is. The sun goes down. There's beautiful, beautiful light, and it's just like peaceful. And you'll see a lot of people doing the same thing and just finding lots of spots to just chill, hang out, enjoy the views. Everyone's friendly. And that's my favorite way to enjoy the happy hour.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a great place to, like, for a picnic, whether it's like with your family or whether like with your somebody special, and just being able to relax and enjoy.
Yeah, it's a great place. And I've actually seen a lot of people propose to their special one during the happy hour that I'm talking about, you know, because it's such a good, great place. And it's just like when you're there, you're like, wow, this is so nice.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to beat that experience for sure. Now, one of the things I always do whenever I travel is check out the local pizza. So where's the best place for pepperoni pizza in Brasov?
Lee, I hope you're not going to be too upset with me, but my answer is I have no clue. I'll be honest, I have no clue. The reason for that is I don't have pizza in Brasov. But I'll tell you what, I will ask one of my friends who I know is such a big fan of pizzas. And he will tell me this, but right now I don't want to tell you something that in case you come visit, then it turns out that it's not the best one. So I'll go for honesty, but I promise you I'll come back with this answer.
Okay, perfect. So listeners, you're going to have to check out the map on the show notes because Marius is going to give us a name and we're going to put it on the map. That way you'll find it.
For sure.
So I know you run a business where you're helping travelers like me experience the country and the cities within Romania in a deeper level and have a great experience. So based on that business and your experiences, what's one of the best travel tips that you can offer people?
To come with an open mind to Romania. That's why I started Romanian Friend, because that's the name of my business, is exactly like if you had a friend from Romania, which is me, that's how I started. I would want to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly at the same time, you know, because I just think there are so many people, like I said, everyone just thinks of Dracula, but actually when you come to Romania, you see people are friendly and hospitable. There's the mountains, then there's the Black Sea, there's the Danube Delta, then you have castles, you have citadels, you have traditional villages, you have Transylvania, you have delicious food, you know, you have so many things. But people just come with, I don't know what I'm going to see here, or I just want to go see Count Dracula and all that. So my biggest tip is just come with an open mind, because if you're going to have a real traveler's experience, you know, like that sense of awe and wonder and what's going to happen next, and I let yourself be surprised by what Romania can offer, as opposed to, you know, traditional mainstream tourist destinations that everyone kind of knows. But I'd see definitely my country is underrated, not because I'm Romanian, but just because I can compare a lot. And I also like to travel to a lot of underrated destinations, you know, so that's my biggest tip. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, like just tell it as it is. And even on our website, people will find, you know, from Romanian phrases to where to go to how to really have a good experience. And we're trying to promote people that actually do cool things, sustainable, responsible tourism, and local businesses that are actually giving back to the community and will help travelers have an authentic experience, you know, so we don't promote any Dracula stuff. That's out of the question.
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic, being able to support the local businesses, but also, like you said, giving like the good, bad, and the ugly, because if all you're doing is highlighting the good stuff, sometimes people come there with certain expectations, and all of a sudden they see some of the things, because no place is perfect. And if you know about it ahead of time, you can prepare for it, and then you can make an adjustments, right? And you can set the expectations appropriately, so that way you can have the best, you know, vacation and trip possible without being disappointed or upset because something was a little different than what you thought it was going
to
be.
And isn't that what your friend from a different country would want you to have? Like, honestly, if I had a friend from Vietnam or one from Thailand or whatever, that's exactly what I'd want him to tell me. Like, tell me the bad, tell me the good, and how to have a great experience in your country, you know, because that's what I care about.
So based on that, Marius, can you tell us a little bit more about your business and what it is that you do?
I think I kind of did in that sense, because we run a big blog. We want to be the number one blog on all things about Romania, especially when it comes to not just being, you know, promoting stuff. And as you said, you know, just telling the good stuff, but we also want to talk about how to stay safe, or, you know, how to navigate public transport, or where to go for this, or where to go hiking, you know, like a lot of people, and we get this so often, hey, I want to go hiking in the Romanian mountains. And I tell them, yo, there's no map, there's no people on the trails, and there are lots of bears, you know? So it's like, I want you to have a good time, but at the same time, I want you to be safe.
Yeah, you want to make friends, but not with the wildlife.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's how it started. But then gradually we found that there are a lot of people like us that share these values of, you know, we want to be honest. And then we kind of partnered with a lot of guides. I became a tour guide myself as well. A lot of nonprofits, for example, that do conservation works, wildlife conservation works, or, you know, like people that know in the villages, you know, the old lady that still makes the traditional Romanian clothing. And when you go see that in her home, that's not something a travel agency can offer you, because they don't have the kind of connections that we do. So we want to really put travelers' money, put tourism to the use, to the benefit of everyone, you know, because travelers have a great experience, local communities benefit, and we walk away thinking like, hey, we actually made something good. We didn't just take people to Dracula Castle and all that, which is what a lot of people think. They visit Brasov. They visit Bran Castle, which is Dracula's castle. That's the official name is Bran Castle, by the way. And that's 30 minutes away from Brasov. And then they think, yeah, I've been to Transylvania and I saw Romania. No, you haven't.
And I waited in line for 3 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. Basically that. So, and that's like another tip. Don't go to Bran Castle on Saturday or Sunday, because you will spend at least 1 hour to get in and you'll have a crappy experience because it's so crowded. So that's what we do, and that's what my plan is. And there's a lot of work to do because, like I said, it's underrated, but happy to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, if somebody has more questions about Brasov, Bucharest, or any of the other areas that you have your tours, what's the best way to reach you on social media?
Social media, basically Facebook and Instagram. If you just look for a Romanian friend, then you're going to find us. And our website is just the same, romanianfriend.com. So we have a team of people always answering questions, and you'll have lots of resources to find. So I would point people in that direction.
Well, fantastic. Marius, we'll definitely include links to all those in the show notes. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm glad that we got a chance to meet, and we look forward to seeing you when we travel there.
And I look forward to welcoming you in Brasov, Lee, and taking you to that pizza place. And then hitting you with a dish of chorba, because that's going to be a treat for you, I guess.
What an awesome conversation with Marius. While most people focus on Dracula and his castle when they think of Romania, the country has so much more to offer. You can find all the links we talked about and our one-page guide to Marius' tips at wetravelthere.com/Brasov. We want to say thank you to Acorns for being today's affiliate partner. With Acorns, you can invest spare change automatically on every purchase that you make. Plus, you can earn found money by shopping at participating retailers. This is a great way to easily build up your travel fund. For a limited time, when you sign up at wetravelthere.com/acorns, we'll both earn $5. Join us next time as we speak with my new friend, Fega Horesh, the co-host of the D-Listers of History podcast. In this episode, Fega and I talk about eating a cheesesteak at Jim's on South, attending the West Philly Porch Fest, and exploring the Rodin Museum. We hope you join us when we travel there. I love hearing your feedback about the show. send me a tweet at WeTravelThere or email me at WeTravelThere.com/contact to share your thoughts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and tell me you like most. Make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way you won't miss any of our upcoming destinations.